Blog Talk Radio.
Questions or
or have any ideas or thoughts that you want to share or question that you'd like to ask, well, feel free to give us a call, 929-477-1423. That's 929-477-1423. Now, let me back up a little bit, and I often say that, but what I'm talking about is some of you might be tuning in for the very first time, and you're wondering, what is this show all about? Well, the Dr. Hank Show is about expanding and exploring the concept of emotional intelligence. A lot of people have heard of the term emotional intelligence. A lot of people are aware of emotional intelligence, but still there's some doubt or skepticism or some unknown about emotional intelligence. And we try to be real clear that emotional intelligence is really about being smart about our emotions. And so when I say being smart, well, one of the things that our guest is going to be helping us to recognize and understand is that we can be smart about our financial intelligence or our financial emotional intelligence, because nothing gets us more excited or more saddened than this thing called money. And so she's going to help us take a look at that. But again, as I said, before we go there, just wanted to take a few minutes and just kind of talk a little bit about the Society of Emotional Intelligence. We have probably about 14 or 15 chapters around the U.S., three or four here in Florida, one in Atlanta, Georgia, Ohio, Chicago, New York, Virginia, Los Angeles, Philadelphia, and I just mentioned we just launched one in Charlotte. So we have quite a few that's there. And if you haven't heard of us, just go to the website and type in Society of Emotional Intelligence. And what you're going to get is a number of hits of a number of chapters that we have around the country. And also we have one in London. Just in case you were going to be in London sometime in the near future, hey, you can stop in and visit our London chapter. They'll be glad to welcome you aboard. So what these chapters do is they offer information, education on a monthly basis about emotional intelligence. So you don't have to just tune into the show to find out about it. You can visit some of our chapters and become more aware of and knowledgeable about emotional intelligence. And just in case you're interested in being a guest at one of the chapters, they would love to have you there. So that's a good way to find out more, a good way to be a guest. Also, if you're interested in being a guest on the Dr. Hank Show, send me an email. Send an email to the drhankshow@gmail.com. That's the drhankshow@gmail.com. I'll send you the guest form. You can complete it and get it back to me, and we'll see if we can't get you scheduled for a date to be on the show. But if you're a listener and you have something on your mind, you want to talk about it, well, just give us a call at 929-477-1423. That's 929-477-1423. Well, let me just check and see if our guest, Pamela, is on the line. Good morning. Pamela, are you there?
I am here, Dr. Hank.
Fantastic, fantastic. Well, a pre happy Thanksgiving to you.
The same to you.
Thank you, thank you. Well, tell me real quick, what is it that you are thankful for? I know I surprised you with that question, but hey, we are all thankful for things, so... If I said,
absolutely.
Pamela, what are you thankful for? What would you say?
I am thankful for another day to be here. I am thankful for family. You
wow.
know, love is the thing, is the most important thing in all things considered, love and family. And so that's my
wow.
priority. That's my why. That's why, you know, I get up every morning. So just grateful and I'm blessed to be here another day.
Thank you. Thank you. Same here. Same here. The other thing I'm grateful for, and and I'm this is being a little biased, but I'm grateful that you have agreed to be on the show today.
Oh, because thank you. You're thank going, you. Glad to be here again.
Well, well, you have something that you can share with folks, you know, and they won't say, oh, that's just Hank talking, you know. He's always talking about something. No, they will say, you know, we heard an expert. We heard an expert that said, here's a good way to think about A, or here's a good way to think about B. So I'm grateful that you have agreed to be a regular on the show. I missed you.
I missed you as well. Always delighted to connect with you. You know, we're a good little tag team here. So always delighted
yes.
to be here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, just in case we have a few people that are tuning in for the very first time, why don't you take a couple of minutes and just kind of share a little bit about who you are and what you're all about.
All righty. Well, I am the CEO of Bonafide Credit Consultants, though the definition is exactly as bona fide, honest, intent, integrity, all of those things. It's spelled a little different, B-O-N-A, the number 5-D. We are based out of Tampa, but as Hank indicated, we will go anywhere and everywhere. I have clients all over the U.S. Our goal is to provide financial capability education, personal money management, and one-on-one consultations. We do that through workshops and seminars. Everything is customized, so I don't have a cookie-cutter, one curriculum, one-size-fits-all kind of thing. It is all customized based on the audience because it's our goal with every opportunity we have to serve to educate, to empower, to evolve, to enlighten, and to enrich. And to be able to do that, you have to kind of make things in the language and examples that the audience can receive and understand and take those tools to apply them to fuel their financial potential. So that's our goal, every opportunity we have to serve. And
oh,
we can
wow,
be reached at www, again, spelled different, but thebonafidecc.com, or feel free to give me a call at 813-495-8568 or inbox me at info@bonafidecc.com.
Wow, that's fantastic. You know, and I was sharing with the audience before we came on, nothing gets our emotions flowing or going like finances, either having them or not having one or the other.
Exactly.
You know, we are concerned about our finances. Now, you say that you're a credit consultant. Does that mean you're like a financial advisor?
I am not a financial advisor by choice. I partner with financial advisors, so certainly if my clients are in need of that, we get them connected. But the easiest way to kind of distinguish between a financial advisor and what I do, because I think to be financially well, you actually need both of us. A financial advisor or plan manager, they manage the monies that come off the top to go to the investment. I assist clients in corporations or individuals or groups in managing the monies that they take home. And so we work hand in hand, but they're two separate pools of money.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because, you know, I know about the money that, let's say, the financial advisor that goes into the 401k, and I know I can't touch that or shouldn't touch that or whatever. So
exactly.
I really don't have that many concerns about that, but I am concerned. I am concerned about my lunch money. I am concerned about, you know, what do I have to spend, you know, before my next paycheck shows up.
Exactly.
I am concerned, you know, whether I have, you know, enough to give the kids their lunch money and stuff. So I am concerned about the money that I bring home, the money that I keep, because I can see that, you know. That's real, whether I put it in the bank or whether I go to Nick's check cashing. We don't have a Nick's check cash, but to a place where I cash my paycheck, or Publix, and cash my paychecks and fold it up and put it, I can see that. So that's my concern. So you're saying that you focus more on that part of the
exactly,
money
the
management?
Personal money management.
Wow. Okay. The ones that I go buy lotto tickets with.
Or not.
Oh, I'm not sure. I'm not supposed to talk about that kind of stuff. That's not a good use of my money. So we won't go there. But no, that's great. That gives me a good feel, a good understanding. I think it also gives our listeners a good understanding and just, you know, where you focus. But one of the things that really kind of pops up, and it happens every year, I don't care if it's snowing where you are or it's blistering hot sun out there, it's those holidays.
They
are quickly approaching. So what general thoughts do you have for my listeners?
Well, I would say first, remember and focus on the reason for the season. You know, so you opened up our dialogue with asking me what I was grateful for or blessed. Focus on the reason for the season. And one thing for sure is it's not getting in debt, not the reason for the season. And we should also keep in mind that you cannot purchase a perfect holiday. So, you know, if we kind of keep our minds set on those few things, you know, we can't purchase our way into this perfect, ideal holiday, you know. And even though holiday might be defined differently for different people, for me, you know, personally, it's about being with family, and it's about, you know, that love and reminiscing and all of those kind of things. And how about that doesn't cost money to reminisce? You know, it might cost you money to get there, to get together, but it doesn't cost you money to have those moments in time. And the moments in time are the reason for the season. You know, not who can buy the most expensive gift, you know, those kind of things. More times than not, and I know some families might be a little different, you know, trying to one-up each other each time or what have you. But I would challenge them to rethink that. That one-upping, you know, and in family in general, you know, you could be at different financial lots in life in this moment. And so it really shouldn't be about the money, you know, who can buy the most expensive this or that, or, you know, I love you more because my gift costs hundreds of dollars and so-and-so's gift they gave you, you know, it only costs $5. That's not an equation. It's not an equation, and it's so far from the reason. It really is the thought that counts. And, you know, for me personally, again, I can only speak from my personal experience and thoughts, and that is I personally prefer gifts that have meaning, not necessarily indicate or equivalent to money. And so if you took the time out to make me something, that's very personal because – you know, in all likelihood, it's going to have some purple in it because purple's my favorite color. And if you know me, then you know that. And so, you know, that's personal. You know, no matter what it is, I think about, you know, my kids when they were in school and making those little bitty, you know, turkey season, you know, how they put their handprint and put the feathers away. you know, the cutest things, you know, they're you know, not equal in terms of, you know, how they're laid out on the paper or anything, but that is the most powerful and precious gift. And you frame those little things and you stick them on the refrigerator and all of that, you know, because your kid made it, you know, it was made with love, you know, it was made thinking about you, not millions of other people, you. And so maybe your turkey is purple. Why? Turkeys aren't purple, but that would be really okay for me because purple is my favorite color, and they know that. And so that's what's important to me, when these thoughtful gifts, you know, not necessarily monetary gifts.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned that in terms of those monetary gifts, and what comes to mind is, you know, those folks who purchase something and they give it, and then once the receiver opens it and discovers what it is, they go, oh my gosh, I got them something that was, you know, a lot less, quote, expensive, so I better get them something else. And so now they turn around and they run to find out what they can get that is, might be the equivalent cost-wise. You know,
right?
You know, there was a great episode on the Frasier show when the sons were trying to buy something for the dad, and they kept going out and buying, outdoing each other. I mean, just imagine television. So they started out with small TVs, and the televisions kept getting larger and larger and larger, and pretty soon it was like the television was as big as a movie theater screen, you know.
Right.
And it was essentially too big to watch because it couldn't even fit in the unit that they were living in. But they were just trying to outdo each other. And you find that that competitiveness isn't about the love or how much you care about the other person. It's you're trying to outdo someone. You're trying to do, as you had mentioned, that one-upsman, or can you top this? You know, or look how much money I can spend on these kinds of things. So I think we do have to get our priorities back in order, you know, or back in perspective, and begin just why are we doing what we're doing. And as you mentioned, the reasons for the season, if we lose track of that, then, you know, well, we can expect, you know, to have a lot of bills come rolling in, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
30 days later, 90 days later, you know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. American consumers, I mean, when you break it down, the biggest chunks of our income is spent on three basic things. That's food, shelter, and transportation. Food, shelter, transportation. Nowhere in there did I say holiday spending, gift giving. No, those aren't the top three. But unfortunately, if we don't have our mindset right, then they quickly add a fourth to that category, and there is not a fourth. So that means you're taking away from one of those major three to fund this fourth item that's not on the list. And that's where we find, you know, the debt coming in, and you're paying for this Christmas, next Christmas, and, you know, that vicious cycle that you don't get out from under. And it all started with what is your mindset and poor planning and all of those kind of things. So hopefully we'll get to talk a little bit about that today to save some folks this stress.
Now, you had used, you know, the term you're managing expectation. So tell me a little bit more about that.
When you're talking about managing your expectations, what I mean is, again, why are you doing what you're doing? Okay, so you decide I want to buy gifts for individuals or what have you. So first thing you need to do is have a list, have a shopping list, because if you don't have a shopping plan, that's the biggest no-no, because that's when you start doing that impulse spending. And when I say make this list, it's really a little shopping budget, a holiday budget. And in that budget, not only are you listing who I want to get a gift for, how about you need to put a price tag next to that? How much am I going to spend on said gift? And you add that up, and hopefully, you know, for my clients and people who've been listening to you in the past, then you've already been planning. So you already have, like, you've been saving all year to create this Christmas budget and not thinking about it right now because Black Friday is going to come, you know, in just a few days.
Hopefully
we've done some pre-planning, and they have, whether it means kind of making some adjustments in the year, you know, so I eat out 5 days a week at lunch. So for my Christmas budget, I'm going to eat out 3 days a week, and I'm going to put the monies from those 2 days into this Christmas budget kind of thing, and building up, leading up to this shopping spree.
Wait a minute, family. What are you talking? You know, if I'm used to eating, buying my lunch 5 days a week, now you're talking about maybe curtailing that and say I'll do that 3 days a week, and the other 2 days I'll put aside for holiday spending.
That's just one option. And the whole point, though, I'm making is that you have to have your priorities set. And if buying gifts is on your list of things that you'd like to do, then you have to plan for it and not – today I'm going shopping, tomorrow, so swipe, 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 or putting it on credit cards or what have you. So you plan that I want to spend $500, whatever that dollar amount is, on Christmas.
Okay.
And we can't lose sight of, when we say holiday expenses, you have to include, you know, the dinners and not only the gifts, but all of those extra things. Because, yeah, you've been grocery shopping all year, but typically most holiday meals, people kind of go above and beyond a little bit, right?
Yeah, they do.
But we need to plan for that. And so, you know, turkey doesn't cost the same thing as bologna. So you might have been eating bologna all year long. That was in your budget. But now you want this turkey. Well, you got to plan for that additional expense. And ideally, what I'm trying to get people not to do is let's swipe this holiday into existence. If we can pre-plan, then we have cash set aside for that. And when you're spending that cash, you kind of are controlling your spending, because if you're in the right mindset, if I said I'm only going to spend $500 on holiday spending, then when that money is gone, I'm done. So on my budget, I already listed out, you know, of this $500, $200 is for food. So that leaves $300 for gift giving. Okay, so now I need to create the list. Who am I buying gifts for? How much money do I want to spend on said gifts? And maybe you might need to curtail that list down. And, yeah, you might feel a certain kind of way, and people might feel a certain kind of way about you not having being on their list for gifts. But, you know, it's all about not letting Christmas last all year long that I'm paying for it. You know, in some cases, people are getting into debt to impress people that they don't even really like, for Christ's
sake. Absolutely.
And so,
absolutely.
You know, for me and my husband, again, this is just how we do things. Me and my husband, we don't exchange Christmas gifts. We haven't for probably the last 15 years of our marriage, and we've been married 23 years. It became a source of stress for us because why? During the year, if you needed anything, you already bought it. For the things that you wanted, how about you were buying those too along the way? And so, oh my gosh, what do I get him? What do I get her? It is, you know, you want to get something that they're going to appreciate, they're going to like, they're going to use or whatever. And so it got tougher and tougher on what to get each other. So, and ironically enough, when we were in that struggle, our pastor preached a sermon about it's not your birthday, you know, that Christmas is Christ's birthday. You have your own birthday. And so what is it like, why would I get a gift on Dr. Hank's birthday? You know, because it's Dr. Hank's birthday. So why would Pam get a gift? And that's really, you know, the perspective of his sermon was that Christmas is Christ's birthday. So why
that's
am I getting a gift on Christ's birthday? Why it should be all about Christ, because this is his birthday. And that's what I mean, the reason for the season kind of thing. And so we don't. We have four grown boys, and we have grandchildren. So how about the boys don't get Christmas gifts because their kids get Christmas gifts, our grandchildren? You know, we have just made that conscious decision. But even along the way, option might be that if the whole family is going to get together, you know, the kids are taken care of with as far as gifts are concerned, but as the adults in the circumstance, how about you draw names, put names in a hat, put a price tag on the maximum you can spend, whether it's $10 or $15 or $25 or whatever this maximum is, but all the adults, so now each person is only buying one gift. There might be 10, 15 people, meaning adults, in this pool, but you're only having to buy one gift, not 15 gifts. And how about there's a dollar sign attached to it so you don't get into that situation, oh, well, I spent $50 on you and you gave me something that cost $10. You know, you get away from all of that when you up front put a price tag on it, because really it shouldn't be about what it is. It's about the thought that went into the gift and all of that. And when you put these dollar signs on that, it forces you to really kind of just think about the person. Because how about you could put dollar on there and get some, everybody has to get something from the Dollar Tree. Everything has, you know, $5 for the gift. You can buy some cute little things.
That sounds so practical.
You know, you might get me a little, I don't know, a desk set. It was purple, right? So I like, that means you thought about me, that kind of thing. And so if families would kind of get in that mindset and stop making it about the money and how much money, you know, financially speaking, you'll be in a better position the other 364 days in the year, you know, kind of thing. Holiday, you know, Thanksgiving even, maybe the whole family is going to one location, one person's house. But if you do potluck instead of this family is now responsible for cooking Thanksgiving for 30 people, you know, that's a financial burden in some cases. Not in all, but in some cases. But how about we just say, okay, if you're hosting, you know, maybe you do.
We'll all
you
bring
know,
something. You
everybody's
going to
potluck. And whatever you're bringing, you bring enough for 20 people. So if it's deviled eggs or, you know, green bean casserole or the stuffing or whatever is your thing, you're bringing enough for everybody, but you're only bringing one dish because the other 30 people. So now you have 30 options as opposed to 6 or 7 options, and it wasn't a financial burden on anyone.
I like that.
This is thinking outside of the box, but with a financial flair, you know, that everyone can still have a lovely time, you know, bonding and laughing and joking and reminiscing and all those things that holidays are supposed to be about. And you're not like, oh my gosh, when this is over, I'm going to need like 10 jobs to pay for this.
Yes. You know? I'm going to be in debt over my head, as we say, you know.
Exactly.
Because, yeah, that is not where you want to be, because you want to have as much fun during the holidays or after the holidays as you had during the holidays. So you don't want to be in the position of worrying about how am I going to pay for this, you know, now that these bills are rolling in and things like that. But I like the idea of setting a dollar value to a gift and agreeing not to go above that, you know. And if you're older than 12 years old or older than 15, whatever that number is, maybe you go from receiving a gift to being considered adult-like and not receiving gifts anymore, but being a participant in the holiday activities. So,
exactly.
I mean, you just have to determine at what age, you know, do we stop
doing
this?
Yeah, each family can decide. There's no right or wrong or no cutoff or whatever. Each family kind of decides, you know, when that cutoff, what that age cutoff is, that you start participating in the name drawing as opposed to automatically receiving a gift. And quite frankly, you know, handcraft, people are so talented and crafty. You know, knitting is your thing or painting is your thing or whatever is your thing. That could make a great gift. You know, it might even be you create this voucher, you know, if one of the family members has small children. How about you create a voucher that you're agreeing to babysit, you know, 5 times or whatever you want to give. That's a nice voucher that, you know, so couples night out or whatever, I'm guaranteed this voucher's for you to cash in at any time. Of course, that works within that person's schedule. That I'll babysit for you for 3 evenings or 4 evenings or 5 evenings or something like that. Or, you know, whatever you have, look at yourself and what gifts and talents do you have, and how about gifting those? Maybe, you know, if you're a teenager, maybe you gift your parents, you know, 5 car washes or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm going to wash your car 5 times or whatever, because maybe you usually get an allowance or a little monies for doing those things. But now I'm going to gift that to you, you know, because I don't have money, because some kids don't have money, you know, and so they're gifting other things, you know, that they have. Maybe they're a beautiful artist, so maybe they're going to paint you something or draw you something or sew something for you. Any of these crafts, there's so many things. And Pinterest, I mean, it's just endless in terms of creativity and ideas or whatever. And some of that stuff, the items that you need to create these things are so inexpensive or might be things that you have laying around the house.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. I like the idea of gifting, you know, time or gifting what we call elbow grease.
Your talent.
Or, gifting your talent, you know. I will, you know, wash your car, you know, 5 times this year, you know. That's my gift to you. And
or maybe you're a chef, so you're agreeing, I'll come over and cook dinner for you, you know, twice or something, if that's your thing. You're an excellent cook or something. You know, people really appreciate those things. I'll come clean your house. I'll come vacuum. I'll come dust out, you know, whatever. You know, the person that you're giving it to, if it's something that they don't like doing. And, again, because I know you, I know your likes and dislikes and things, challenges that you're having. So how about if you could solve a problem for that person? You know, maybe their schedule's so busy and they very seldom have time to do housework. So maybe you do. You agree to come over and do your house. Maybe they've been talking about, oh, I need to reorganize my office and blah, blah, blah. And how about you gift them? If organizing is your skill, maybe you just say, I'll gift you to come over and organize your office. You know.
Wow.
All kinds of things can be done if we just get creative and not make it about the money.
Yes, that's what I was thinking. So, you know, we don't always have to be coming out of the wallet or coming out of our pocket with money for gifts and stuff like that. We can think of other ways to give a gift of, you know, a time, a gift of, you know, energy, or gift of, I like that. And I'm writing these down, by the way.
Okay.
Because, you know, sometimes, you know, I, along with others, you know, the only place that we turn is, oh, we got to get a gift for. Mm-hmm. And we think about going to Targets or wherever to buy something that someone may or may not find useful or have a need for.
Mm-hmm.
But we've satisfied our conscience. We've satisfied ourselves, and now we don't feel, quote, guilty because I've given them something. I've given them something, even though it may not be something that they have a use for. They would probably have more use for or appreciate more having their car washed five times, you know, than whatever it was that you purchased.
Exactly. And even biblically speaking, it speaks of giving your time, your talent, and your treasure. Because at different stations in your life, maybe you don't have treasure to give, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you can donate your time to the cause, you know, or your talent to the cause.
Yeah, I like
everything
the idea.
Everything is not a dollar value, you know. So, you know, come over and we're going to purge my closet, that kind of thing. You could find stuff in your house that you're not using. How about you could sell that stuff to get monies to, you know, so now you're, you know, downsizing stuff that you don't even need, but you're converting it to cash. You know, those old gift cards that you got last Christmas and you still haven't used because it wasn't your thing. You know, unless it's like a bank card that can be used anywhere, then it's very merchant specific. You know, you can't use a Starbucks card, you know, shopping at Walmart, so to speak.
No.
And so if you got a Starbucks card, and you're not a coffee drinker or a tea drinker, you know, you kind of threw that off to the side. Well, you could either re-gift that, or you could go to these websites online and convert it to cash. If you're going to go that route of, you know, doing gift cards, you can buy them at a discount. There's websites as well that where you can buy discounted gift cards because people have, you know, converted them to cash and that. So all kinds of creative things that we can do. You know, if you're a sewer, you could make someone an outfit. You could, I mean, just, it's just endless. It is endless what you could do.
Well, you certainly have taken a lot of the shopping, the need for shopping at a store, at a retail outlet, sort of out of the picture here, because you just talked about the gift of talent and the gift of talent or the gift of time, the gift of energy. Yeah, that's just, thank you. Thank you for sharing that. So I'm going to consider that a big tip. I'm going to put that as a number one tip, gift of talent or gift of time, rather than, you know, a gift of a Target or Walmart gift card or something like that, but a gift of talent. Right, yeah. So We're now living in the age of technology, you know, and technology is everywhere in pretty much everything that we do. So from your point of view, how can technology be used to, you know, to help us, you know, with our holiday spending?
Couple different things, and I mentioned, you know, Pinterest and all of that. Pinterest has, you know, it's like that creative hub, so all kinds of ideas can come from surfing Pinterest, which would be, you know, an app. There's apps that can tell you about store sales as they're coming up and those kind of things. There's the apps where you could go to buy discounted gift cards or to sell unused gift cards. You could use technology for that. And I would say, you know, to sign up for these newsletter alerts and all of that, I would recommend, if you're going to do that, create an email address just for that. And the reason why I would recommend that is because you're going to get these alerts during, you know, this super sale, early bird shopping, blah, blah, blah. When the holidays are over, you don't want to keep getting alerts about sales, because that's a bad habit. And so if you had this email address set up just for that, how about you delete it when the holidays are over? So it's done deal. It's gone. I'm no longer feeling, you know, this impulse. Well, I wasn't thinking about buying anything, but then I got this alert and it said it was on sale, and then there you go. Not on the budget, wasn't on anything you needed to be doing, but there you are because you got this alert and you feel like you just can't pass it up, you know. And for those who are looking for the Black Friday and what do they call it, the Green Monday, which is, you know, typically the second Monday in December, all of that, just have a plan. Don't get suckered into, you know, because it's on sale, I must. You must not do anything. There's no must associated with holiday shopping. It's not, I must buy a gift for this person. I must do. No, these are choices and decisions that we're making. And like I said earlier about paring down that list, you know, some folks get into, oh, I need to get a gift, not only for everybody in my family, oh, my stylist, oh, my the lawn care guy, oh, the barber, oh, the nail tech. You know, all these people, I need to gift something. You know, all these are choices, so there is no obligation, a must, associated with that. But again, with technology, if you're thinking you need to do something for these folks, there's websites that can tell you what's kind of customary for, you know, your garbage person, your mail person, your nail person, your, you know, there's some guidance as it relates to that. But even those types of individuals, you know, a personalized gift, non-monetary.
Might
be an avenue to pursue, you know. You got all these, you know, coffee mugs and blah, 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 you've accumulated over the years. You know, now might be time to re-gift some of that. You got so many, you don't need them. You know, you can do a nice little bow, a little nice little packaging, a nice hand-done card with a nice message to this individual that's personalized, something about them, thanking them specifically, not just a thank you, but thank you, you know, for always doing a great job on my nails or fitting me in when I call you last, whatever. But that makes it personal.
So you mentioned about these coupons, you know, and there are a lot of, and I don't want to call them scams, but there's certainly a lot of coupon, a discount coupon offerings out there on the internet, you know.
Where, be wary.
So how do you know what to do with those? Because everybody's got this fantastic coupon, you know, where you get 30% off, 50% off, or whatever, you know, on some of these things. Is there anything to look out for that you know of?
I can't really give a cut and dry, one size fits all, but I, you know, my philosophy is always when in doubt, don't. And so if it doesn't feel right, it feels too good to be true, all of that, then just don't. And always get into price comparison is another thing. If you decide I'm going to buy this item for a person, you know, don't just pick up the first one you see. And you don't have to go to all these places. Use Google, you know, technology, price. What does it cost at Walmart and Target versus Macy's versus Dillard's versus whatever? Price those things out. Are there coupons associated with it that it's truly different pricing? But whenever in doubt with these websites and coupons and all of that, whenever in doubt, I just say don't, you know. If it doesn't even seem realistic that they're offering this item for, you know, 80% off and nobody else is doing it, you know, that would, I would say, be a red flag. Like, probably not, you know. So just be vigilant, being vigilant.
Gotcha. Well, you know, I'm just thinking about that because I just do see those things sometimes. And I like the statement that you made, when in doubt, don't. Rather than when in doubt, do.
Right, exactly.
So what are some other maybe red flags that we might see or can be aware of as it relates to our finances and holiday spending?
I would say, you know, always being reading the fine print. And what I mean by that is you're gonna see a lot about bundling, you know, upselling.
Oh, of course.
You know, you went to buy this one item, but it's, oh, if you buy two, you get one free. Or, you know, you bundle these things together, it costs this if you buy them separate. Well, do the math for yourself because oftentimes, you know, I shouldn't say oftentimes, sometimes when items are bundled, does not necessarily yield a discount. It may be the exact same price or very close to it if you were buying the items separately. And mm-hmm. so if you only needed two of the items of the three that are bundled together, when you do the math on it, if it's not that kind of cost saving that you're anticipating, how about just get the two items that you needed?
Yeah.
You know, when they're trying to upsell you on different things, if it's not something you already were anticipating buying, don't let mm-hmm. the merchant tell you what to buy. You're telling the merchant what you want to buy. And that happens when you already have your list. And you're sticking to your list, and you're sticking to the budget, the pricing that you put beside the item or the individual or what have you. Don't be swayed by, oh, my gosh, if I don't buy it today, I'm going to miss this deal. So, you know, particularly on social media, you see that today, got to do it now, urgent, you know, sale. You know, if it's that urgent, you know, how about if you had not been on social media at that exact moment, you wouldn't have seen it. So, you know, mm-hmm. how about just pretend you didn't see it? If it's not something you were already going to do because they say the sale is ending, you know, this, what do they call them, flash sales, only 3 hours, you know, and what it is was not on your list, it's not in your budget, but, oh, my gosh, it's only 3 hours, I don't want to miss it, you know, and I don't know if they're ever going to offer it again. And all, so now you're in this mode of they're dictating what you're purchasing versus you dictating what you're going to purchase. And so don't give that kind of power. Read the fine print to see, is it really a better deal for you? You know, and people get in that bind often when they wait to the last minute. So here we are on Christmas Eve because we didn't plan, we didn't budget, and, oh, my gosh, you just invited me over to dinner, so I can't show up without something. So let me run out here and buy something really quick. Well, that something really quick, the same thing that you're buying really quick right now, if you bought it a week ago, you would have saved, you know, $30, $40, $50.
Mm-hmm.
But you're in this mindset that you can't allow that pressure. You can't give in to that kind of pressure. So planning is the key. And even if it is some unexpected last-minute thing, immediately put on that thinking cap, thinking outside of the box, and there needs to be a budget assigned to that task. And like I said, you might have to create something at home really quickly if that's your thing or whatever, but try not to just get in that bind. Oh, well, it's only one gift that's $150. I'll make up for it somewhere else, because you won't. So that means you're $150 in the hole because you weren't anticipating that, and you just went and paid this exorbitant amount for this thing. And as we said earlier, how about the thing you bought might not even be something that they really enjoy, because I already have one of those or whatever.
Yeah, you're right.
So,
and it's easy
you know.
To say, well, it's only, you know, X number of dollars, only $150. I'll make up for that, or, mm-hmm. you know, I can, you know, recover that in a very short period of time, you know, in 2 weeks or a week or so, I won't buy lunch for 2 or 3 weeks, and I'll just take my lunch or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But no, generally you don't stick to that either, because what you discover is that, well, after a week you say, oh, well, geez, I can go ahead and, you know, do A, B, and C. I can go ahead and buy my lunch again. I can pay for this thing, at a later date. Yeah. So we get back into it.
And we don't want them to fall prey to opening up credit cards. You know, you go in this retailer and it's like, oh, if you open up an account today, you get 10% off, 20% off, 30% off, all of that. That one purchase to save those $2 or $3 is not necessarily worth it, one, for them to open up the account. Now, you have an inquiry in your credit report, which is going to ding your score, not significantly, but you do get a ding for the inquiry, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you got this line of credit. And maybe it's not even a place you shop on a regular basis. And so you did all of that to save $5, but you lost that in terms of the ding in your credit report. And now it's another trade line that you either have to close or keep up with so it doesn't become a victim of fraud. It just, that's not the way to do things. You don't need a credit card with, exactly.
Yeah, no. Wow. That is just so much, you know. First of all, you shared a lot of information And what I'm hearing is it's about being smart, you know. And being smart isn't as easy as the word sounds, you know. We can say, oh, it's common sense, but, you know, we don't necessarily use common sense. We're not necessarily smart.
It's an emotional time. Like you're saying, it's an emotional time.
Yeah.
We start buying with our heart and not with our mind. And you were so on point when you said that, you know, it's smart. The reality is, if you're smart about how you buy your gifts, you're really giving yourself two gifts. And those
yes.
two gifts, less stress and more money.
I can appreciate having both of those, you know,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, as I was in the work that I do around emotional intelligence, you know, one of the questions that came up and was, do we buy based on emotions or do we buy based on logic, you know,
mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of information out there, but essentially the research tells us 80% of the decisions that we make, 80% of the buying decisions that we make are based on emotions. And only 20% is based on logic. You know,
mm-hmm.
so if we want to make better decisions, we have to make sure that we balance both logic and emotions in that
mm-hmm.
process. And to balance it really means that we just have to take into consideration or that we have to think through, and as you were saying, plan. Because
mm-hmm.
even when you're emotionally invested, if you take the time to plan, all of a sudden now you're injecting logic,
mm-hmm.
if you will, into the process. You're giving yourself time to think. They say there's this acronym called HALT, H-A-L-T, and say, if you're going to make a decision, first thing you need to do is halt. And the H stands for hungry. Okay, so
mm-hmm.
we should not make a decision, a buying decision, a spending decision, when we're hungry. Because, you know, if you're hungry, they always say, do not go grocery shopping when you're hungry.
Exactly.
Because
mm-hmm.
you will tend to overspend. You will spend more than you had planned to because you'll buy unnecessary items and stuff like that, you know. So that's the H in the acronym HALT. The A is don't make a decision when you're angry.
Angry. Mm-hmm.
Because when you're angry, you have a tendency to want to, you know, make rush or hasty or decisions without thought. In other words, if you're angry, you just want to pay somebody back or get them back or do something to make the anger go away real quick. So
mm-hmm.
don't make a decision when you're angry. L is lonely. If you need to make a decision, don't do it when you're feeling lonely. And you
mm-hmm.
can imagine when people feel lonely, that's not a good feeling. That's not a good emotion to experience. So people will do almost anything to not feel lonely. That's why in relationships, a lot of times people will stay in a relationship a lot longer than they need to because they know that if they get out of it, they're going to be lonely for a while, and they don't want that feeling. They don't like that feeling, so they stay. Or if they get out of the relationship, they will have a tendency to quickly get into another relationship so that they are not lonely. So
right.
if you're lonely, try and refrain from making a decision or doing something that really needs to be done at that time. And lastly, the T in HALT is tired. Do not or try and refrain from making decisions when you're tired. Because when you're tired, it just means that you don't want to put forth any effort to do anything. So the
right.
thinking kind of shuts down, the planning shuts down, and you're more apt to say, oh, whatever you think or whatever you want or whatever, you know, or whatever, it doesn't matter. Because your energy is being zapped. You don't want to invest time in. So I try and share that along with many other things, but it works really well when we're talking about you know, spending and how to manage the money that you keep. So if we can integrate this HALT into that equation, I think that might also be another tip.
Oh, absolutely. I like that.
Just thought I'd throw that in there. That's not your tip, but it's certainly your tip to use now.
I will add it to my repertoire.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So before I let you go, any other thoughts, comments that you have up your sleeve? I know I often ask our guests to have an offer for our listeners if our listeners are tune in and they say, what else is there? What would you say to them?
I would say, you know, the holiday seasons are upon us, and I am also an author. I don't know if we mentioned that earlier. I have some T-shirts as well on my website. So if they bundle, get a book and a T-shirt or two T-shirts or two books or what have you, I will include a $50 discount voucher on a one-on-one consultation, good through November the 25th, so you have 7 days to take advantage of that. Just make sure that they mention this offer. And if they just buy one item, either a book or a T-shirt or what have you, they will get a $25 discount voucher on the one-on-one consultation. Hopefully they'll partake in, you know, this, the goal being, you know, we can do a little bit for this holiday season if the consultation, if they want to get it scheduled, you know, within the next couple months. Mm-hmm. But if not, even if we schedule the consultation for early 2019, we'll get them on a path to preparing for the next holiday season. That next holiday season will look different than this one if we aren't able to put some things in place right now for 2018 holiday season.
That sounds wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully they got some tips from you and I today that they can use, you know, because the goal really is I just want them to have a blessed holiday season.
Absolutely.
Love being the overarching reason that they're doing what they do, and money being an afterthought as to why they're doing what they do.
Well, Pamela, real quickly, what's the best way to reach you?
Again, via my website, bonafidebeat5dcc.com, or they can reach out to me by phone, 813-495-8568, or they can inbox me at info@bonafidecc.com.
That's fantastic, fantastic. Well, Pamela, once again, the time goes by very quickly, so the time is too short for all that you have to share with our audience, but I appreciate everything that you did share with them. So let me wish you and your family happy holidays. I probably won't get a chance to talk to you until 2019.
All right.
Really isn't that far away anymore. But in the meantime, you know, the best to you and yours. And hopefully we'll keep everything that you share with us today in mind. I certainly will. And I'm going to be making my list and checking it twice and probably cross off a whole bunch of folks now that I would otherwise get something for. So, and if they ask me why, I say, well, Pamela said. So,
that's right. I'm making a bona fide decision about my holiday spending.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Pamela. You have a wonderful day, as I always say, an EI day. And Thanksgiving.
You as well. I look forward to 2019 connecting again.
Okay. You've been listening to the Dr. Hank Show, and as a matter of fact, Dr. Hank Show is just about ready to sign off, but hopefully some of the things that you heard from our guest today, Pamela McCoy from Bonafide Credit Consultants, will be of value to you. And I know they will, and I don't know why I said hopefully. I'm sure they will. So, you know, we don't have to overspend. We don't have to be in debt next year. We can use a lot of the tips, a lot of the information that you heard today to keep us, well, solvent rather than insolvent. So, again, this is Dr. Hank, and you've been on the Dr. Hank Show. I'll be back next Monday, same time, same place, with another guest. Please tune in, listen for us. The best way to reach us is blogtalkradio.com/drhank.com. blogtalkradio.com/drhank.com. So tune in. We'll be back next week, same time, same place. So, as I always like to say, hey, go out and have an EID.